for tonight. God, I pray for Pastor as he rests. God, I pray that you'd begin to heal his body even now. God, I pray that you would touch his body and that you would restore it so that he's ready to do your work as he goes this weekend to do weddings and visits with people. God, I pray that you just open up opportunities for him just to minister as he's doing a wedding for friends. God, we love and we thank you that you can that we can turn to you and rely on you for that. God, I pray for the word tonight. God, I pray that the things spoken here tonight aren't my words, but that your word's speaking through me. God, I just thank you again for the privilege and opportunity to share. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was saying, I've been praying all day, and I thought I had a pretty good idea of where we were going tonight. And then about 4 o'clock, I couldn't get a peace about it. And so I just began seeking God again, and he kind of shifted directions on me. How many of you ever grew up hearing the song, Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho? Remember the old song, Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho, Jericho? Yeah, you're kind of getting it, all right? Right? Well, that's where we're going to be tonight. We're going to look at the story of Jericho. And as I was reading that story, this has been several months ago, God just pointed out there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that are kind of personified in the Old Testament that we see spiritual implications in the New Testament of. And this story, for at least as I'm looking at tonight, it helped me understand some spiritual battles as it relates to walls that we put up in our lives, right? So Jericho for Joshua was in the way of what God had promised. He had to go through Jericho to get to the promised land, the thing that God wanted for his life, the things that God had promised for his life. But there was a city and a wall that kept him from getting to where God wanted him to go. And so as we start in Joshua chapter 6, I just want to kind of look at how God worked through those things and what we can learn from that story in our own life. Because I believe there's a lot of us have promises that God has put in front of us. And a lot of us have things that we're waiting on God to do, but for some reason we just can't seem to break through that wall, whatever that wall may be. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open it to Joshua chapter 6. And I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in." And I think it's interesting that no one could move in and out because of these walls, right? A lot of times walls will separate us from God. It just puts separation up between what God's called us to and where we are. It says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have the 7 priests carry the trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear the sound of long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in.'" And like I said, there are spiritual places in our life that we've allowed Satan to put walls up around us. Just like the city of Jericho, a lot of times that happens because of protection. We get hurt in the past, or something happens and we don't really understand what's going on. And so every time there's pain or disappointment or uncertainty, Satan wants to step in and wants to begin speaking to us. Satan wants to begin to establish things in our hearts that will allow him control of our lives. And so what happens is we begin to build things like strongholds or inner vows. And if we're not careful, we'll allow those strongholds and those inner vows to keep us from the places that God has called us to and that so desperately wants to give us. But we have to deal with these strongholds and these inner vows, these places of walls that we've allowed resurrected in our life. Satan builds strongholds and arguments in high places. So strongholds and inner vows are two of the areas that Satan can get control of our life. So strongholds is just a place where we've come into agreement with Satan. And I'll give you an example of that from my life here in just a second. An inner vow is something a little different. An inner vow is when we make a vow to ourselves. Now, the deal with an inner vow is because it's an inner vow and because it's a vow to ourselves, we're far more likely to keep it than just a promise. I've been a pastor's kid, so I've been in ministry for a long, long time. And I've shared this story before with some of you in different settings, but As a youth or as a teenager, I played band. I played the sax and the clarinet and piano and played all kinds of instruments. And so this was back in the days of big orchestras and things in the church. And so I was in the church band, the church orchestra. And every 4th of July, we did a huge event called AmeriFest. And at this event, we'd go out and we'd set up on the golf course and we'd play for thousands of people and do big games and big stuff like that. Well, I was probably 17 at the time or so, and I had been practicing with the band to play in Amerifest, playing the sax. And so for months and months and months, we'd been working on this music and been working on this these arrangements and these parts, and I had them down pretty well. But the orchestra director, he also played sax, and so he was very well connected in lots of different circles. And when it came time to for the performance, or when it came time for Amerifest to happen, he called me and said, "Hey man, listen, I've got a friend that's coming in. He's a professional sax player, and he's going to play your part, but I still want you to come play." And of course, that devastated me. It hurt my feelings a lot. And so I was frustrated, I was mad, I was hurt, I did something a lot of us would do in times when we get hurt. We say some things, don't we? Sometimes we say things we don't necessarily mean. I said, "You know, I'm never going to let this happen again." That's an inner vow. Okay? That what I was doing, I was building a wall up around my heart and saying, "I'm never going to allow this to happen again." And then Satan comes in, and of course, he wants to speak to you during these times, doesn't he? Satan always wants to speak to us when we have our guard down, when we're not paying attention. And so Satan came in and he said, "Listen, you know, you're not really designed to be out in front of people. You just need to stay in the back. You just need to stay in the background. Being a support role, being in front of people isn't what you're supposed to be." And so because of my hurt and because of my inner vow and because of being vulnerable in that situation, I agreed with Satan. I said, "You know, you're right. That's not who God created me to be." And so for the next years of ministry, what I did was I took a role in the back. I began doing sound. I began traveling, setting up for bands. I began doing all the AV stuff that I'm helping with here. I did websites. I did public, anything in the background I could find to do, I did for churches. And I was good at it. God blessed me, and it wasn't a bad experience, or so I thought. And the cool thing is God works all these things out for our benefit if we'll just continue to walk with him. But because that's how I ended up in Shreveport. I ended up in Shreveport because of a pastor calling me to come take care of environments and websites and things like that at a church here. And so up until about 5 years ago, that's what I was doing. And I remember sitting in my office one day, and I was just spending time with the Lord. And he said, I'll never forget, he said, "You don't get to tell me who I created you to be." And I kind of stood back and said, what do you mean, God? I've been serving you, doing all these things that you've called me to do. I've been walking in the calling that you've put on my life," or so I thought. But what I didn't remember is the inner vow I made. And what I didn't remember is that Satan had spoken to me during a time of hurt, and I had made some decisions to agree with Satan instead of agree with God. I knew early on in my life that I was called to ministry. But I decided that I was called to ministry in a way that was behind the scenes because I didn't want to get hurt again. And so I stopped walking in the calling that God had for me and began to work in the shadows of it. And so again, as I began to pray about it, God reminded me that he called me to be a pastor, called me to be a teacher. Well, that requires me to get in front of people. And so I had to deal with some things, some strongholds. I had to deal with a wall that I had put up in my heart in order for God to continue to move me in the direction that he called me to be. 2 Corinthians 10 says this. It says, "For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And as I began to read that passage and think about the things that I was dealing with, it occurred to me, just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to think it. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to think it. In other words, I don't have to allow those things just to continue to dwell in my head. What I have to do is search God's Word and find out, "God, what do you say about this situation? What are you speaking to me in this situation? What do you want to do with this hurt?" And as I began to deal with that, I began to step back into the call. There was a wall that had to come down in my life. And there's the thing about these walls is a lot of times these walls, we'll get through one wall and we'll get to another wall. Then we'll get through that wall and we'll get to another wall. So keep asking these questions. This is a process that continues to happen. Look at what God said to Joshua again. It says, "I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors." The reality is that God has already He's already demolished those things for us. He's already given us freedom. The Bible says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. The problem is we don't walk in that freedom. We close things off from God and we say, no, these are things that I'm hurt over. These are things that I want to keep control over. We have to receive what God's already done. All right? If we keep reading, we can see how the Lord began to tear down the walls. God does unconventional things, if you haven't noticed, right? Joshua 6:4 says, 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. And as I begin to look at those ram's horns, you know, the ram's horns weren't an instrument that could play a lot of notes, and they weren't something that you'd necessarily see in a band or anything like that. But they were used for a couple different things, and one of the things they were used for is on the day of the feast and the jubilee, they were called to worship. And they were they declared the Lord's presence. And so what Joshua was commanded to do was put the ram's horn in front of the army as they walked. He was declaring, this is God's presence. This is where God is going to reside. And he was worshiping God as he marched around the city. And so as I thought about that, I began to think of Psalms 22:3. It says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of your people, Israel. God's enthroned in the praises of his people. And I wonder how many times we get in the middle of circumstances, we get in the middle of places where we feel walled off or we feel like we haven't pushed through. And we can't seem to break through because we haven't invited God in that situation. I remember one of my favorite illustrations when I heard someone teaching this verse. A friend of mine named Zach Neese, he wrote a book called How to Worship the King, and he uses this illustration, and it's just always stuck with me, especially when it relates to this verse. He says that, so many times in our lives, we want God to come in and dwell and to be in the middle of our situations, but the problem is we don't build him a throne that can support him. And he says he was playing with his kids, and they have a little dollhouse, and they have that, you know, doll furniture is real small, right? And I wonder how many times we've kind of only offered God this little doll chair to come and sit in our situation. Whereas if we'll stop and we'll spend some time just worshiping God and seeking God's face and inviting him in, the Bible says he's inhabited by the praises of his people. So if we'll stop and praise God in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of the situations, in the middle of the places where there's walls been built up, if we'll stop and worship God, if we'll offer him a throne big enough, he'll come and sit and dwell and he'll fix the problems. But we have to offer him a place to be. Victory in the spiritual realm breaks chains in the physical realm. See, most of the time, the things that we're struggling with have a spiritual implication that if we'll get victory in the spiritual realm, they'll have physical consequences. They'll play out, and God will set us free of the things that we've been bumping up against. But it starts with praising. Joshua 6:16 says, the 7th time around when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. He reminds them what God said. The other side of that, worship is one side. The other side is God's word. God's word reminds us of his promises. I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have run into a situation where we get frustrated, we feel like we're getting burdened with something, and we encourage each other with God's word. Remind each other of how God's been faithful. That's what Joshua was doing. He's saying, listen, the Lord has already given you this city. Declare the things over your lives that God's already declared about you. We're already victorious. We don't have to work to fight for, we work to fight from. God's word reminds us of his promises. When we worship, God shows up. When we read, we're reminded of what God's already done. Revelation 12:11, you've heard the verse many times. It says, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. Amen. Sometimes the things we need to do is just testify to God's goodness, and it will remind us of God's faithfulness, and we'll be able to break through the areas that God wants to break through. Sometimes it's our testimony that's the breakthrough from somebody around us. So if we'll be a people that worship and be a people that testify to God's goodness, we'll begin to see walls fall down. When we shout victory, we're encouraging other believers. Now, the story doesn't end there, though. Many times we may break through a wall and then we just leave it be. But look what happens in Joshua 6:17-18. It says, the city and all that are in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Verse 18, it says, but keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Now, the devoted things were things used to worship other gods.
So he's saying, keep away from those things. Chapter 7, it picks up and it says, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, and son of Zimri, and son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avon to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua and said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not worry the whole army. It's going to be an easy battle, no big deal. For only a few people lived there. Verse 4, so about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Little things become big things when Satan has a place in your heart. When we allow Satan to maintain corners of our heart, then Satan uses those things to destroy our lives, to keep our lives off track. Little things become big things when Satan has a place in our heart. Satan uses the devoted space in our hearts to keep us from experiencing God's power in our circumstances. What happened is Achan kept some of the devoted things, kept some of the things that were devoted to other gods, and so Satan used those things to work or to wreak havoc in the Israelites. Listen to how Satan works in Luke 11. Verses 24 through 26, it says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through an arid place seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I'll return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept, clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. What we see is the pattern of how Satan loves to work. A lot of times we'll deal with the situation, but we'll not completely deal with the situation. We won't allow the Holy Spirit to come dwell in those places. We won't bring those places into the light. We keep them kind of covered. We keep those walls up around them. And so even though God's forgiven us of those areas, because we haven't brought them into the light and allowed the Holy Spirit to dwell those places, Satan still has control in those places, and he ends up drawing us back in. I know time and time again, I talk to different people who have been addicted to something, and they break the habit and they have freedom and they experience that freedom for a little while, but they don't replace that void with the things of God, and they put themselves back in those same circumstances or back in those same environments. And what happens? They get sucked in, but this time when they're sucked in, they're much further off or worse off than they were before. Why? Because they haven't brought those areas into the light. They've kept a wall around those areas, and they haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell those places. You'll never be able to stand against the enemy as long as there's devoted space for him in your heart. Joshua 7:10 says this, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They've taken some of the devoted things. They've stolen. They've lied. And they put them under their own possessions. Satan lies to us and tells us, listen, this isn't going to affect anyone. This isn't that big of a deal. Listen, you've gone down before. You've raised your hand at the altar call. You've come and prayed the prayer. You've done those things. That's all you need to do. Don't worry about these areas. These are little things. It's what grace is for, right? God's going to forgive you. You can keep on doing life the way you want to do it. Now you've got your insurance. It's what Satan whispers to us in the back of our minds. And I think if we're honest, there's areas in our heart that we keep because we think, God, you know, I'm just not quite ready to deal with this yet. It's not that big a deal. It doesn't affect anybody else. It's not hurting my family. It's not hurting me. And the reality is it is. Because it gives Satan control in your life. Gives Satan control in your heart. Satan's always looking for that opportunity to reestablish devoted space. He's always looking for that opportunity to get control of your heart. He's always looking for opportunity to bring you down. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6. He said, no man can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. When we allow Satan to have corners in our heart becomes divided. James 4 says it this way, a little harsher. He says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And so, as I was praying through and thinking through, tonight's message isn't really complicated. What I want us to do is just spend a few minutes examining our heart, or better, asking God to examine our heart. and search our hearts and see if there's any places in our lives where we have devoted space that we haven't allowed Satan or we haven't allowed God access to. Places that we've built walls up around us because of past hurts or past pains or whatever the case is. And we've not allowed God access to those things. You see, God wants to heal us of those things. God wants to set us free of those things, but God's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way in. He stands there and patiently knocks and says, look, can I have your whole heart? Can I heal you of that? Can I free you of that? And so as Nathaniel and the band come, I want to spend a few minutes seeking God tonight. And just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there any corner in my life? Is there any space in my heart that I haven't allowed to come into the light? Is there any place you want to minister to me tonight? One of my favorite illustrations that I think personifies exactly what God wants to do tonight. I don't know how it worked in your house, but in my house, my dad's dad, my grandpa, he had a big old house with, you ever seen the houses with that front window that everybody can see in from the street? That was the room that was always kept perfect, right? You could play anywhere else in the house, but you weren't allowed to go in that room. Because that room, everything was kept perfectly. There, you know, it had the plastic on the couch so there doesn't even get dirt or dust on the couch. It just wipes off. From the street, that picture window and that view in that room was always perfect. And I think for us, that's exactly how Jesus is in a lot of our lives. We've given Jesus this front room in our house. We said, God, come into my life, but I want you to stay right here in this room where I've designed it for you. I've gotten everything clean in my life in this area. And so, God, you can have this area in my house. You can have this. In fact, I like you sitting here because that way when people go by and look into my life, they see you in my life. But we don't want God to go any further. We don't want Jesus to step out of that front room. We don't want him to meddle with the messes that we have in our back bedrooms. We don't want him to meddle with the relationships that are hiding in the corners. We don't want him to meddle with the areas in our past. Those are the areas that God wants to get into tonight. Those are places you've built walls up and said, God, not in this area. You can deal with me in a lot of places, but you're not allowed in this area. I'm telling you, God wants to set you free in those areas tonight. So let me pray over us. And the band's going to lead us in just a song or two of worship. And then we'll be done tonight. But let me challenge you to really be open with God. Really allow the Holy Spirit access, not just to the front room, but anywhere in the house he wants to go. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and examine our whole life tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and set people free tonight. Pray that people wouldn't walk out of here the same way they came in because they've encountered you. God, help us to be open and honest with you tonight as you examine.